Amen. Well, I encourage you, if you can, save your fellowship now for the end a little bit. I apologize for it being so hot in here. It's our bad, all right? We forgot to take the covers off the AC during the week. So I promise you, next week, it'll be cool for you, all right? That you ladies will be complaining it's too cold. You know, I have one beautiful lady in my family. It's either too hot, too cold. It's rarely just right. Is there any other ladies like that too? So we'll do the best we can next week, all right? It should be good. Amen. And plus, you know, when you kind of sit and just calm down a little, it'll cool off. It should be okay. Amen. I'm the guy stuck in the lights now. I feel bad, though, for the choir and the music team because they're up about 4 feet, and it gets hot up there. Amen. Amen. Good to see you here this morning. Happy Memorial Day. We're going to be talking a little bit about that in a few minutes. An announcement, though, just so I don't forget about it. Of course, read your bulletin. There's stuff in there, right? But what I want to mention is a Memorial Day picnic. So how many people have been to one of our Memorial Day picnics? All right. So most of you, you know, you're old school. You understand what the deal is. We provide the hamburgers and the hot dogs, and you bring the side dishes. Now, I've heard threats of rain and that. Can I tell you, I hear this every single year, all right? Every single year. Now, I've been doing this for 20 years now. We have yet to have had a Memorial Day picnic rained out. We've been threatened by clouds. There's been little sprinkles here and there. But let me tell you this. Whether it rains or not, we're having a Memorial Day picnic. We'll just go inside or under the pavilion. We got 10,000 square feet of under roof, okay? So there's lots of room, okay? So if you still want to come and it happens to be raining, don't think, oh, there's no picnic. There will be food and there will be fellowship. You're welcome to come. You bring your neighbors, bring your friends. The only thing we ask, hey, bring a side dish to share, right? We have the cutlery and all that kind of stuff. And like I say, the hamburgers and hot dogs. I'm really looking forward to it. If you'd like to help set up, it officially starts at 12, kind of ends about 5. But if you'd like to help with setup, if you could come by 11 o'clock, would be awesome. There is a sign-up list out in the foyer just to let me know you're planning to come to help. And if you want to help with cleanup, you don't have to do both. There's two categories, right? If you'd like to help with cleanup, again, we're going to, by 5 or a little sooner, if we see there's some empty tables, we'll start cleaning up. Just put your name on the list just so we know who we've got to help. Amen? Many hands really do make light work. Amen? How many people agree with that? Yeah. It makes a huge, huge difference. Amen? So I'm looking forward to it, rain or shine. Amen, amen. At this time, why don't we receive our church tithes and offerings? Because we've got a couple things we're going to be doing this morning. So the ushers would stand up. Oh, yeah, while that's happening, why don't you come up, Mary Ann, right now? You have an announcement. Thank you for reminding me just while that's happening.
Good morning, everybody. I am going to be running another healthy eating session about 5 to 6 weeks. So if you're interested in coming, put your name on the sign-up sheet in the back. It basically not only involves food and fitness, but it also involves faith, incorporating your faith, focusing on God, and having your friends to support. So if you're interested, sign up in the back.
Cool. After tomorrow?
Yes, starting after the picnic. I understand where Norman was going with that. Amen. Everyone ready to give? Amen. Father, we just thank you for the privilege of sowing into your kingdom. So we ask you to bless the finances, Lord God. Bless the gifts, the fruits of labor here, Lord God. And Lord, with cheerful hearts, we sow into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Bless the Lord. You know, it is Memorial Day. Now, often, you know, especially for younger people, when you say Memorial Day to them, they think picnics and fun and family get-togethers. But actually, Memorial Day has a far more important component to it. So if we could run that video, that couple-minute video, that would be great.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Amen. I'd like to take a minute and do two things. Could I just ask anyone who has been in or is still in military service, could you just stand up? Is there anyone here? We've got one. Amen. A couple of them. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. And then I would also, thank you so much, I would also like anyone to stand that's had family or close friends who have passed away as a result of being in military service. All right? Yeah, as a result. In other words, someone has died in military service and you've been a friend to them or a family. Amen. God bless you. And I want to take a minute and pray for you guys specifically. Lord, I lift up the families who have lost loved ones, Lord God, and for close friends who've lost loved ones as well, Lord God, and maybe they wondered, you know, was it worth it? And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that they can see that the price of freedom is always worth it. And that eternity is a part of this whole equation. That when a person dies now, that's not the end, but rather the beginning of eternity. So Lord, right now, just comfort those here, standing right here, Lord God, but also those even beyond these walls, Lord God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You know, often on Memorial Day, we often like show a video, and I really like this particular video. We used this a couple of years ago, and I saw it again. It just tugged at my heart, and Ronald Reagan just had a way to communicate, and just wonderful. And it's relevant today, even though that was probably 25, 30 years ago now. But often we show a clip like that, and we, you know, acknowledge what Memorial Day is, and then we kind of move on, sometimes into some other thing. But as I was just meditating on this weekend and just thinking about it, I really felt that the theme should be along the same idea as Memorial, as the concept of being a hero. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, all right? So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that as we just share about what it is to be the hero, Lord God, that you would just help us and encourage us, and Lord, that each one here here would just get something from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as you look at that young man up there, I see a mischievous young man. That's the first thing I see, all right? You know, you're not sure what he's going to get into, but, well, what might he be thinking about? He's got the cape on. He's got the hands, you know, covered with the gloves. You know, he is a superhero, isn't it? So what are the possibilities of what he's thinking about? Well, you know, to me, he looks a little bit like Superman, so he can think he can what? He can fly, right? That's the big thing. You know, my son Aaron, you know, you should ask him about his superhero days. From age about 2.5 to 6, he thought he could fly. He jumped off of everything. He banged himself up. Yeah, unbelievable. And we tell him, Aaron, you can't fly. But yes, I can. I'm like, no, that's not flying. That's crashing. But, you know, he just kept thinking he just liked to feel that air, you know, just for the few feet that he was in the air. But the point is, he wanted that. And I think of this young man, you know, to be able to see, you know, to have x-ray vision. And I think Superman can, what, has laser beam eyes too, right? He can cut. You know, think about all the other superheroes. You know, Hollywood is now reinventing that. You know, Marvel and DC Comics have come back. They were all going bankrupt a few years ago, and now they're making billions and billions of dollars in this whole superhero. I won't even call it a fad, because can I tell you something? We've always liked superheroes. Now think about a superhero movie. You know, if you were doing a storyboard for it, what would be the important ingredients? Well, you need your superhero, right? That can do special, unique things. Now, they may not be able to always do it supernaturally. You know, you think of Iron Man, right? I guess his superhero gift is he's really smart. So you know, he's able to make this stuff to be able to do things. But the point is that they had a unique gift. So that superhero has to be able to do something that's neat and different from other people. So you got that. All right, you have to have a villain. So you got your superhero, you got your villain or villains, and so you have this war between. Then you have what? A victim. You got to have victim or victims, somebody that's in need so that the superhero can swoop in and rescue them. You know, see, you got all that going on as well, right? And then, well, because it's Hollywood, you have to have a love interest, right? You know, the superhero has to have a girl on the side, you know, so there has to be some, you know, so the ladies want to bother even watching the thing because the action part is kind of boring to them, but they want to see all the emotional stuff connected. So that's Hollywood's version, right, of what a superhero is. But here's the question. How does God view a superhero or a hero? Is it different from Hollywood? Probably, right? You know, let's face it, Hollywood usually doesn't get it quite right. So how does God see this? And I want to show you that God talks about heroes. So if you have your Bibles, if you go to Luke chapter 10. Now, just as we're going there, I want to give you a little bit of background. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples to go out and heal people and deliver them from demons and all kinds of things. And they come back, they're all excited. And then what he does in Luke 10, he sends out 70. So he sends out his disciples plus a bunch of other people to go as well. And they go out and they're gone for a while. And so again, they're doing miracles and signs and wonders. And there were places that Jesus was going to come to. That's what the Bible says. That they would go out before him and say, look, there's someone coming that's got good news for you. And they would just do these signs and wonders. So they show up back in, so Luke 10, verse 17. We're just going to pick up. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So the 70 came back, and let me paraphrase. Here's what they said. It was awesome! You know, we saw all this stuff. You know, people got healed, and demons jumping out of windows, and all kinds of cool stuff happening. And how did Jesus respond? You know, he responded, I'm sure he was full of joy as well, but he kind of took things a little bit a different way. He makes a statement. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So the first question that would come to me if I was a newer believer, I might say, well, hold it. I thought God was in heaven. What's Satan doing in heaven? You know, what's that all about? So let me just take a second and just explain. The Bible talks about, and I'm not going to get deep into this today. We'll do this some other day. But there are three heavens, all right? There are three heavens spoke about in the Bible, all right? The one heaven, which we can all connect to, is the one where God is, all right? That's where his throne is, the temple, all of that is there, all right? The second heaven is just the cosmos. In other words, if you look out into outer space and just see out there, that's the second heaven, just out there, all right? And then the other one is the atmosphere, right here, right where we are, all right? Just right here. Now, the Bible says that Satan is the prince and power of the air. So that means that he's just up in this part. He's not in heaven, all right? He's in the first heaven, so he's right just above. And what did Jesus say? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Here's what he was saying, that Satan had lost his authority. You see, when the disciples were out preaching and teaching and doing what God called them to do, the power of God, what? Overcame the power of Satan. So Satan's authority crumbled. Can I tell you that that's still for you and I today? That when we go and we speak and do what God has called us to do, that Satan's authority is taken away. It's a wonderful thing to experience that and to see that happen. Yet Jesus says this, you know, they're all excited about it. And listen, if you were doing superhero stuff, wouldn't you get excited? Because doesn't that sound like superhero stuff? Like you're doing, it's like, whoa, look at all this stuff happening. You know, better than Superman, right? Better than any of these guys. And they're all excited. Yet Jesus says something that's really, really important for you and I today. Verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are where? Written in heaven. Meaning that your place is in heaven. That heaven they're talking about is where God is, all right? Not just in the air, but all the way where our Lord is, amen? And so it's so important for us to realize this. Now, what's amazing, I set all this up to actually go a little further here. Jesus then rejoices in the Spirit. He's just thankful for what God's doing. And then go to verse 25. All of this is to set the stage for verse 25 and beyond. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, You have answered rightly. Do this and you'll live. But the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came by where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. So if I was going to retitle this, it's being a hero. That's really what I would call this. So let me talk to you a little bit about this story. First of all, we have a guy going down the road, just traveling. He gets jumped by a bunch of thieves, gets robbed. Not only gets robbed, but they steal his clothes. Like, talk about, that's bad. You know what I'm saying? Just stripped him of his everything, literally. Left him to such a point that the people passing by thought maybe he was dead. Because he's laying there. Now, if you were half conscious, you'd at least crawl off the road. How many people would do that, right? You know what I'm saying? You get off so a cart or a horse wouldn't drive over you. This guy, he's beat up bad. So who's the first person that encounters him on the road? You got a priest, all right? So he's coming on. Man, you would think, hey, you know, pastor, you know, man of God, you know, stop and help, right? What does he do? Listen, if the body was there, here's what he did. Got on the other side of the road as far as he could go. You know, and just kept on going. You know, blood's everywhere. And he carries on. And the Levite, he's the singer. That's what they were back then. So he's one of the choir guys. Not one of our guys. All right. Not Karen, don't look at me that way. Not you, but somebody in some other church that was in the choir, okay? That's what the Levite's job was to sing, okay? And so what does he do? Goes along the side as well. Totally goes right around. Now, why did they do that? There's a couple of reasons. First of all, they just didn't want to get involved. Obviously, they were going somewhere, so by stopping, it would hinder whatever they were doing. But here's the other problem. If that body happened to be dead, because they didn't know, right? This guy's banged up. He's not moving. I don't think he's there. If they touched it, they would be declared unclean and unable to do their priestly duties. They wouldn't be able to sing. They wouldn't be able to, because they'd be declared unclean. They'd have to go through this whole ceremonial washing thing. And I think it's like 6 or 7 days before they can actually go into the temple. Because that was the rules, the religious rules of that day. So what was more important to them? The rules and the ritual rather than helping their fellow man. See, that's what Jesus was talking about here. That's the whole point of the whole story, is that it's not about the rules and the rituals. It's about helping your fellow man. That's what it's about. So you got these people who are representatives of God, all right? You got this priest, this pastor guy, and you got a singer who should have been, what, the first ones on the scene of the crash, if you know what I'm saying. Should have been there to help. And they're not there. Then you got this third guy, a Samaritan, comes down the road. Now, for us, we're like, okay, Samaritan, what's the big deal? Jesus is making a huge contrast here. Let me tell you what a Samaritan is. A Samaritan, the Jews of that day would call a half-breed. Because what they were Jewish, but they married outside the Jewish faith, outside of the nation of Israel. So they married people from other nations. So they were considered worse than a Gentile. In other words, a Gentile can't help being a Gentile. But when a Jew married outside and married a Gentile, that was really bad. They called them dogs. They wouldn't fellowship with them. They wouldn't even let them near the tabernacle, or the temple later on, the tabernacle earlier. In other words, they couldn't approach God the way the Jews did. They actually had to have their own place of worship. The whole deal. So this person was an outcast. Now, what did this outcast do to help? And the guy laying down, he's probably a Jew. All right. So he's actually one of the brethren of the priest and of the Levite. All right. So picture this. Guy's laying there, and this Samaritan, what? Listen, between you and me, if I was a Samaritan, I'd be like, serves you right. You know what I'm saying? You know, and walk on by. But what did he do? Ran right up to him, poured on oil and wine, loaded him on his own donkey. He then had to walk, right? Took him to an inn, looked after him, and even after that said, hey, if there's any further expenses, I'll pay it when I come back through again. Now, why was Jesus telling this story? There's a couple of different reasons. But let's go back and talk about this Samaritan for a minute. What did he do? He poured on oil and wine. That was the medicine of the day. You might say, what's that all about? Well, alcohol. Have you ever spilt alcohol on a cut or a wound? What does it do? Anybody know? Stings. It burns you, right? Yeah, in fact, back in the day before they had disinfectants and all that, they used alcohol as a way to disinfect a wound. So, okay, that makes sense. Now, what about the oil? Well, it was olive oil that they had. Olive oil would seal over that wound to keep it from any bacteria coming in. It was the medicine of the day. So what that guy did with what he had, he used it and treated this guy on the side of the road. And not just treated him, but cared for him. He was what? A hero to that guy. Even though in the natural, they wouldn't talk to each other in the street. In other words, if they were both upright and walking, the Jewish guy, he wouldn't talk to the Samaritan. Samaritan wouldn't talk to the Jewish guy. They just wouldn't do that. Yet here we see an act of heroism going beyond natural ways. And I believe that as we talk about this a little bit, that to be a hero in God means you've got to go beyond your natural bend. That's what being a hero is in the Lord. Amen? And so as we look at this story, listen to this. I'm going to give you a couple scriptures. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says this, let each of you look out not only to his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I watched several days ago a old State of the Union address. It was in 2005, so it was President Bush was doing the statement, the State of the Union. And, you know, it's like an hour long, so it goes on and on and on. But there's a segment, about a five-minute segment, where he addresses several people that are sitting there. By Laura Bush. They're sitting around her. Now, these people didn't know each other before this. In other words, they were sitting where they're because that's where they were put. But they didn't know each other. And so he began to introduce who they were. And so he was talking about, obviously, the war in Iraq at that time, back in 2005. And he talked about a young man by the name of Byron Norwood, who had actually died in Fallujah. You know, he was a Marine, and he had died in taking Fallujah. And so he introduced his parents. And so they're a couple, you know, and he has them stand up and everything, and you know, people applaud, and then they sit down. But as I looked at their faces, I could honestly say that as I looked at them, they wondered whether it was worth it that their son had died. You know, it's all nice, they're, you know, all the accolades, everybody clapping and everything. But here's the bottom line, their son is gone. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can say, oh, that's great what you did. Their son is gone. And I could see in their eyes the sadness and the despair. And just that questioning, even though all this is happening, was it really worth it for our son to do this? Just an honest question, right? That you could just see that in their faces, you know. And so they sat down. So then he went on a little bit and he talked about Saddam Hussein and how he'd been 35 years, you know, terrorizing Iraqi people, and how he then said there's a lady by the name of Sophia Taleb that is here as well, and her father had been murdered by Hussein about 15 years prior to this. And he talked about that for a little while, and then he introduced her. And so she stood up in front of the couple. Again, they didn't know each other. She stood up, you know, and everyone's clapping. And he said for the first time in 2005 in her life, she was able to vote freely for who she wanted to. Then the miracle happened. The lady, Sophia, turns around. And she looks at those parents. And she wraps her arms around them. And she begins to sob. All of them are crying. It's a big mess. But as I look into the eyes of the parents, that wonderment of wondering whether it was worth it changed to it was worth it. Because all of a sudden now, it wasn't just for a cause, it was for a person. It was for a soul. See, if you're living and wanting to be a hero for just a cause, you're going to miss out. Jesus came for people. And you need to be a hero for people. Jesus himself says this. In Mark 10, verse 45, it says this, "For even the Son of Man," Jesus is speaking, "for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, I'll give you an example for perspective so you can understand what I'm talking about. You know, how many people have seen maybe video clips or TV clips of, you know, people picketing like a pregnancy, an abortion clinic? You've seen that, you know, and they're Christian, and they're saying you're a baby killer, you're all that, you know, and they're yelling and screaming, you know, for the cause, if you get what I'm saying. Now, I'm going to tell you that I don't personally agree with that type of thing. Now, let me tell you why. They're standing for a cause. But organizations like CareNet, where they love on the women who are pregnant, who find themselves pregnant and need help, they're not yelling at them, they're not doing, they're just coming alongside of them with the love of Jesus. Why? Because it's not a cause, it's about people. And I wonder whether at times we're being heroes, kind of like a Hollywood kind of hero, and not being the hero that God has called us to be. And that's a hero to other people. That's really what God has called us to. And if we do that, here's what happens. The cause gets affected as well. You understand what I'm saying? Look at what's happening now, even with the pregnancy, you know, with abortion clinics, they're being closed down everywhere. Why? Because over time there's been pressure, I believe in a healthy way, to show that an unborn baby is still a person. Amen. You get what I'm saying? Why? Because God's concerned about the person. You know, and it's always been that way. And if we will do things God's way and be the hero God has called us to be, put the cause aside and think about people. Because that's what Jesus does, amen? That's really, really, really important. So obviously, Jesus is what? Our greatest superhero, right? Like, think about all the stuff he did in the Bible. You could take all the superheroes, put them all together, and Jesus outdid all of them. You might say, well, hold it, he didn't fly. Well, hold it. He went from one room to another and went through a wall. He traveled from one place to another just by going like that. That's better than flying, right? Now think about it. How about this? When he ascended into heaven, he went like this probably and went straight up into heaven. That's pretty cool, right? What superhero ever did that? You know, think about all that. You know, he did some amazing things. Now here's where I want to connect some dots for you. As I was reading the story of the Good Samaritan, for the first time, I saw something I'd never seen before. I've taught on the Good Samaritan. I love the story. It's just awesome, right? But for the first time, I saw something I didn't see before. And it just happened just a couple days ago. So I'm reading the story, you know, I'm thinking, oh, that's really cool. And then I did the research on the wine and the oil. And I thought, oh, that's really cool. It was the medicine of the day and all that. And then all of a sudden, Jesus spoke to my heart. And he said, this is what every believer should be doing, giving what they have. So think about that. He had the oil and the wine, and he gave it. But then the Lord took it a step further. This is the part that touched my heart. What does oil and wine represent all through the Bible? Everywhere. The Spirit of God. Okay, go to our last picture. You have within you, if it's going to show up, it's going to show up. They'll get it. You have within you the Holy Spirit of God. You could take all the superheroes, put them together. You've got more power than all of them combined. Now just think about that. And so you got this Samaritan guy, he comes, he takes what he has, the oil and the wine, and you know, he helps the guy. But listen to me, you've got circumstances and situations that you're going to run into this very week. And I want to ask you the question, will you be the hero? You have the power. Now, it's not for you to be glorified. We've already talked about that. It's not about that. But it's about him being glorified. Amen? We're going to get to it. I know it's going to show up. They'll get it. It's really good, too. I took time to... I didn't really make it. I just found it. All right? But it's going to show up. Listen, it's the classic Superman, you know, where he goes like this and you have the big ass, you know, where he's... Listen, nobody take your clothes off, all right? I know it's hot in here, all right? Nobody do that, okay? Listen, when you're praying for somebody, you don't have to do the Superman thing, okay? Please, just pray for him, all right? And just encourage him, all right? Yeah, Brian's already, you know, yeah! But the point is that you have contained within you the Spirit of God. Every gift of heaven is at your disposal as you're led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And so that's my word to you today, to be the hero God's called you to be. Don't be the spectator. I'll end just with this one story. A number of years ago, there it is. Be the hero God's called you to be. There you go. Thank God it's there. All right. A couple of years ago, in fact, probably this is 15, 18 years ago, I went to a baseball game. My son was playing, and so it was before I was coaching. So I was just in the stands, just with my wife and I, we're just watching. We're at the top, and the stands were full of people. So all of a sudden, we hear this kid screaming. It was a hot day, kind of like what it is right now in here, right? It was hot, and this kid's just wailing, wailing. So I looked down, and they had like one of those old-style buggies, you know, the kind where the back can go down, so it kind of converts into a bed. And there was a child probably 6, 7, 8 years old at least. And so you could see that there must have been some kind of developmental, there was something wrong, okay? The child, you know, was acting more like a 1.5-year-old, okay, compared to 7 or 8 years old. The kid's screaming. And the mom's doing her best to kind of quieten the kid. Listen, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about, all right, trying to deal with. And it wasn't working. Whatever she was trying, it just wasn't working. And the kid was getting hotter and hotter because, you know, when you're screaming, it just made it all worse. So the kid's there. And so I just... Because I was at the back, I could see everybody. Everybody's looking, you know, and what they had? They had what? Pity, right? They're feeling bad. Other people were giving her evil looks like, you know, can you get the kid to shut up? You can imagine all the different things were being thought. And Sandra and I was just looking. And the lady finally decides in the end, look, I gotta go. You know, so she starts wheeling the kid away. And so here's what happened. The S inside of me, the Spirit of God inside of me, I felt this little prick. And I'm like, Sandra, come on, let's go. And she's like, oh, boy, there we go again. What's going to happen? I said, I don't know. But I just said, we just need to go talk to this lady. So by the time we got down the stand and got there, she had already gotten to her car. She had like a van thing, and she was loading the child in. And so you could see she was frustrated. The kid's screaming still. So, I'm to the point, you know, I'm one of those people. I said, hey, look, we're Christians. Can we just pray for your girl? And all of a sudden, the lady, it was as if we handed her a cold cup of water. She just went, you could just see the stress just came off her. Now, here's the cool part. This is like really cool. So we pray for this little girl. Now, she's screaming. I mean, like, you know how when a kid's been screaming for so long, their clothes are all wet and the sweat. She was like a hot mess, all right? She was just a mess. We pray for her. Instantly, she stopped crying. Instantly. But even I was surprised, right? You got it. Okay, I'm like, whoa, that is really cool. Anyway, at that same moment, the mom just starts crying, just uncontrollably. It's good Sandra was there. She can do the huggy thing, you know. And so, you know, they're doing that, you know. And the lady just said, you know, I'm just so glad that someone took the time to help. You get what I'm saying? You know, sometimes to be a hero just means to just be there. You know what I'm saying? Just to care. You know, sometimes we think, well, I got to have some kind of superhero power or something. You have the Spirit of God within you, amen? I encourage you to listen, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone sometimes. Listen, if Jesus even has to pray, not my will, but your will be done, there's going to be times where you're going to have to pray that too, where a circumstance, there it is, boom, the guy's on the side of the road. You get what I'm saying? And it's like, Jesus, you want me to do this, but I don't want to do it. But Lord, your will be done. And you have to make that decision whether you're going to do it or not. I encourage you, be the hero. There's some really cool benefits of it. You got great stories to tell after, all right? Plus, it advances the kingdom of God. That mother will never be the same because of one small act of love. Amen? Let's stand and pray together. Lord, as I look around this room, I see superheroes. Now, they might not think that of themselves, but Lord, I know that if they know you, the Spirit of God lives in them, Lord. So they have powers more powerful than Superman, Lord God. More powerful than Iron Man and Batman and all those guys, Lord God. They can do stuff. I better not leave the ladies out. More than Supergirl can do, Lord God. And Wonder Woman. Okay, another lady. Do we have any other lady? Oh, there we go. Okay, all those other ones that have just been named. Lord God, and Lord God, I thank you that, Lord, it's not so much that we control them, but Lord, we do in a sense, because you won't allow yourself to work through us if we don't let you. And so though it's you, we still have to be willing to be that hero. And so, Lord, that's my prayer for everyone in this room, a willingness to be a hero for you. And so, Lord, I speak a blessing upon them. And, Lord, they're going to have all kinds of circumstances happen this very week where, Lord, it's going to be friends, it's going to be families, it's going to be circumstances at work, at school, that are going to just show up, Lord, and they're going to be left with that little prompting in their heart, am I going to be a hero today for you, Lord? And so, Lord, I pray they take that step of faith, knowing that you are a good God, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, I want to put a scripture up just as we're closed. Stay standing for a minute. It's Hebrews 13, verse 6, also found in Psalms 118, verse 6. And it says that you can confidently say that if the Lord is my helper, I will what? Not be afraid, right? Because what can man do to me? Come on, what can man do to you? God bless you today. Be a hero for Jesus. I just encourage you to do that. Amen? Amen. God bless you. There it is. Amen. If you need specific prayer for anything, love to pray with you. I encourage you to have a blessed day.